Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. Say this after me. We are a great people. Amen. Do you believe it? We're a great people. We're a great people, and we're God's people. And so that's a good confession to make every day. Say, I am a great person. Amen. So anyway, it's a commemoration day. We really need it every year, this day. Psalm 145, verse 4 says that one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Amen. And there's a biblical principle here that we need to observe and to keep it going. And that's why commemoration is important every year. It's to testify to the deeds and the actions of those people that we're remembering. Amen. And to keep a thankful attitude. And thankfulness is really the message this morning. We're kind of just diverting from prayer just for this Sunday to speak about thankfulness. Because thankfulness is not a one-time action. Thankfulness involves actually taking that thankful attitude and working it through to actually telling other people of the goodness of God or the goodness of those that have done something for you. Do you believe that? It doesn't just stop when at the end of thank you. It keeps on going. So a thankful heart is something that I believe we can live with every day. Amen. Change our lives if we do that. And so, you know, there was a call to action by the leaders of our country back then, and it produced mass motion and motivation. I wasn't around then, but from what I know, the whole country got behind it. Mass motivation, mass motion towards, you know, taking the steps necessary and the sacrifices necessary to secure our future. And that's a great example. And we should never forget that there's still action being taken today. There's still sacrifices being made today. We should always remember that. There was a program on TV this week about the battle in Mosul. I don't know if anybody's seen it. And so much of what is going on, we don't hear about. It's unreported. But we need to keep our hearts right. We need to keep that attitude of thanks. Amen. Because there's so many worldly things, right, that crowd out all the reports that we should be hearing. Do you know, to be honest, I don't really want to know what Katie Price is doing. Do you know what I mean? I'd rather know what's going on. And the world, the things of the world crowd out all of the stuff that we see on the front pages of our newspapers, some newspapers, I should say. And so, but if we knew all of these reports, if we had heard some of these reports, we'd be like, thank God there's still people that are doing something, trying to make something better. Amen. So, and we're Christians, so we can identify with that. It should be natural to us to identify with sacrifice. Do you believe that? So that's what we're going to talk about today. It's thankfulness. And I want to just start off by reading a quote by an author, an American guy. Actually, it was at the top of the prayer that Deja just read out. His name is Clarence Kelland. And he said, "My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived, and he let me watch him do it. My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived, and he let me watch him do it." And I thought, that's a powerful quote. And we can take so much from that. And to me, it reminds us of the debt that we owe to our mothers and fathers, our grands and granddads, our mentors, our teachers, and all of these people. And because they've been living examples. Do you know, there's plenty of great examples in Scripture that are no longer, that are not here, physically present on the earth, and we can follow their example, but they're living examples that we can follow too. And it's a powerful principle to follow someone who's good and who's godly. And it's great because they allow you to come into their life and to watch how they, to see how they live. Isn't that a powerful thing? And so the quote also speaks of the care and the concern he had for the future of his son, okay? He's always aware that his son is watching him. And I believe that we need to be much more aware of our actions and our heart, because there are many people watching us. There's a lot of people that are keeping their eyes on the church. They're keeping their eyes on Christians. They're keeping their eyes on people. Don't be mistaken. There's not much escapes people out there. You can make a slip up and they're on it. So, you know, I think that quote was brilliant, because it's like, you know, just imitate me, follow my example. And in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. And Jesus is our example. And if we live to the patterns and the principles that he modeled for us, we'll live a life that's pleasing to God. Amen. And I want to live a life that's pleasing to God. Do you want to live a life that's pleasing to God? Well, that should be our aim every morning, is to please God and when he sees us, like, there he is. Joe is using that principle. Wow. You know, isn't it so satisfying when you show someone what to do, like a little, like a nicky-nacky thing, you know? It's like, and then they get it, and then they use it, and you feel wonderful because it's like, you got it, you know? And it's like that. I think God's delighted when he says they've got it. They're using it. And it's an honor when people take what you show them and they begin to use it. You know, it's honoring, and so it's important. So now if Paul says, imitate me just as I imitate Christ, then, and Paul, Jesus always gave thanks, and Paul always gave thanks, then we should do the same. Amen? We've got to give thanks always. And giving thanks gives birth to miracles. Did you know that? Being thankful gives birth to miracles in your life. It gives birth to new and fresh things happening. And so, if you look at John 6:11, don't turn there. Jesus thanked God before feeding the multitude. That's what he did. And in John 11:41-43, Jesus thanked God before Lazarus rose. So there's this pattern there, this principle of giving, of thanksgiving, and then things begin to happen. Isn't that good? The other thing that quote tells us is that within relationship, there are vital things being passed back and forward. There are values and lessons being given and received. Amen? So in a relationship, there are vital things that are being passed to backwards and forwards. This will not distract me in the name of Jesus. I hear it coming. Amen. Lewis, don't you be tempted to keep the beat. Where is he? He's gone. So having a thankful heart and a grateful heart, or gratitude, I just split gratitude down, having a grateful attitude is key to life. And it's going to make a huge difference in our lives if we observe that. And, you know, it's like the thankfulness is something that is continual. It's like the guy that said to his wife, his wife says to him, you don't tell me you love me anymore. He says, well, you know, I told you I loved you when we got married and nothing's changed, you know? It's like, you know, some people live with that, you know, I've already told you, it's still the same, nothing's changed. So, you know, I said thank you for that great roast dinner years ago, you know, they're still coming, I'm still thankful, you know, I'm thankful. No, of course not, because we need to know. We need to keep being thankful, keep telling others, telling our spouses that we love them. Amen. More and more. And telling God that we love him. telling Jesus that we love him, you know? And so thankfulness is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's something that just becomes a part of your life, and it opens the door to God's presence coming into your life. God's presence can be real and daily in your life. Real and daily. Would you like that? I'd like that. Real and daily. Like, you know, God's presence is there. I could do with some of that. And so, but there's been some problems because we grew up, I think, being taught that thankfulness is something to do, not something to be. So being, you know, go and say thank you. Just go and do it. Okay, so we grew up thinking thankfulness is something that you do. But thankfulness has got to be much more than that. It's got to be about who we are. And so if we understand God's expectations and his desire for us, as far as thankfulness is concerned, change our lives. Does God have expectations and desires for us in relation to being thankful? Yes, he does. He has lots of them. In fact, you can hardly get away from it. If you read through Psalms, if you read through the Gospels, if you read through the Word, everywhere you see this attitude, this life of thanksgiving. So it's important. So some people don't think they have anything to be thankful for, though. I mean, that's... if you look around you, you'll see a lot of thanklessness. This thanklessness, I think, is endemic in our society. And I think that thanklessness is a spiritual condition. It's damaging to the person and damaging to those around them. And because, you know, thankfulness is, you know, love is the root of all things. And thankfulness springs up as one of those things that spring up out of love. So having a thankless heart is, and we can change that. Because you know why? We can tell people or give them something to be thankful for. Amen? And that's going to make a difference. Do you believe it? So there is a prevailing attitude that's kind of, I don't owe anybody anything. I don't owe you nothing. You know? And in fact, you owe, this system owes me something. The world's in such a mess, I feel that I'm owed something. Do you know what I mean? And that's, you know, and people sometimes will say, well, it's not my fault that I can't be in employment. It's not my fault this happened. It's not my fault this set of circumstances has displaced me. They say it's not my fault, so, you know, you need to keep me. You know, you owe me something, and people develop an attitude of, you know, we don't owe anything. So there's a consumer. We're more than a consumer society just in terms of what we buy. We're a consumeristic society in terms of we feel that everybody owes us a break and everybody owes us a favor. I like doing favors for people, though, and things like that. But if you understand what I'm saying, generally speaking, I think that that attitude is becoming worse because things are changing rapidly. And you're going to be like, ah, oh, David, you're speaking about technology again. But for some reason, I'm thinking about the future a lot. And the future is important. Amen? And so I heard this week that there's some thinkers out there, some experts, and they're thinking about the future, and they're forecasting future unemployment based on the automation and technology sector in the world and how that's going to endanger people's livelihoods, okay, on a pretty massive scale, potentially. You know, it's like the poor horse, you know. The thing is, the horse couldn't go into computer programming. Yeah, but when the tractor came along and when other things came along, the horse just now is a beautiful animal for riding on and racing and doing all of that stuff. Thankfully, we can turn our hands to other things. But anyway, so they're thinking about this whole kind of future with potentially without jobs. And of course, adaption takes place, and the industries that do begin to come up produce new opportunities and new jobs. And so, and in the name of Jesus, I declare that there will be people here, young people especially, that will hook into those new opportunities because the world's changing quickly. And so anyway, so, but the question is, how do you deal with all of these displaced people, unhappy people, unthankful people? It's everyone's fault that this has happened. And they've all got no income and they've been effectively taken out of the economy. So how do you deal with them? And this is the questions they're asking. So there's possibly going to be an income distribution problem in the future, all right? So, and I'm sure everyone here has got an opinion on income distribution, okay? But there's potentially a problem there. But I heard them mention a system of guaranteed income or universal basic income. And I actually hadn't heard that before. And then I thought, then I heard recently there's something called universal credit in the UK, isn't there? But I almost like see people with some sort of, you know, credit system or something, and you know, this is the only way. But basically they're saying, you know, we have to still give people a means by which to live and all of this kind of stuff. So we've got to give them some, you know, universal income or something or not and get them, you know, give them something. But the problem is people are de-incentivized, you know. When it's taking people's, where do we find a lot of our worth and our value comes from what we do, doesn't it? And so when you take that away and you just give people money to be a part of an economy, you it's actually a dangerous thing, I believe. You take away that ability for them to, you know, to find meaning and fulfillment in life. So there's an opportunity there for us. There's an opportunity to talk about Jesus, who, no matter what circumstances are, gives us fulfillment in our life. Amen? So anyway, it's all about, there's a victim mentality. And so there's a lot of that. But we really have to, I believe we're going to be key in changing that. Amen? And so because of Jesus, we're not victims, we're victors. Amen? We're victors, and there's thanksgiving associated with victory. So we're going back on to thanksgiving here. That was a little rabbit trail. Amen. Thanksgiving, if any of you have done Bible school, which some of us have, and some of us have listened to Pastor Tom's teaching on worship, thanksgiving is a huge subject in Scripture. It's often linked and kind of intertwined with praise and worship. But actually, there's different applications, different meanings, and I just want to go over that. But you're going to hope get a revelation at the end of this regarding thanksgiving, okay? So stick with me. This act or attitude of giving thanks has, since the Old Testament, been linked with the way in which man has approached God, all right? So We used to sing that old song for years. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. We don't sing it anymore. It's a good song. I still love that song. I find, yeah, it's the old ones that you find yourself humming, you know, time. Oh, yeah. So, but thanksgiving, you know, we were always taught, you know, it's the way we approach God. And the first step is to approach him with a thankful heart. And it's an awesome thing, isn't it? You know, he created us. He loves us, loves every one of us. And I believe he created every single person with an awareness of his reality. Every one of us has, I believe, an awareness of the reality of God. But the spirit of this age leads people to reject God, all right? And when they reject him, they miss out on that awesome relationship, that awesome privilege, amen, of being in relationship with the true God. That's what I believe. And so the world system sets up other gods. People set up their own things that are like their God in their life or their idols in their life. So I want to read in Romans chapter 1, verse 19. You got your Bibles this morning?
Yes.
All right. Romans chapter 1. Verse 19 to 21. I just want to give you scripture for that. And it says, For that which is known about God is evident to them and made plain in their inner consciousness, because God himself has shown it to them. For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made. So men are without excuse. How's that? Men are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification. Listen to this. This is amazing. This is in the Amplified. Because when they knew and recognized him as God, they did not honor and glorify him as God or give him thanks. What did they not do? They didn't give him thanks. But instead, they became futile and godless in their thinking, with vain imaginings, foolish reasoning, and stupid speculations, and their senseless minds were darkened. What a powerful passage of scripture. You know, so this condition of thankfulness is not a mystery anymore, because that scripture explains it. Our people's senses are darkened. Things, there's an inherent, dishonor. So it's not a mystery anymore. And I believe that that's what we've got to be looking for in the Word, is things that give us the answers. Because a lot of people say, we'll say, why? Why is this thing like that? Why is this thing like that? We need answers. But the answers are in God's Word. The answers are in the Bible. They are there. We just have to find them. And so that's the important thing. That's why Bible school is great. Amen? Amen. So praise God, we're hoping for that again in the future. So, but thankless people disqualify themselves from being able to draw near to God. That's important. Don't disqualify yourself from being able to draw close to God, to not be able to experience the fullness of God's presence. Who wants to experience the fullness of God's presence? Amen. Amen, Susan. Yeah, the fullness. The fullness, not half full, three quarters full, but the fullness of God's presence. We want to experience that. And so in Psalm 95, verse 2, it says, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise." And one of the key characters in the Bible in this respect is King David, all right? So, and actually, do you remember, I think it was last week or the week before, we talked about how presumptuous the Israelites were. They'd begun to worship idols, and they'd moved away from God, and they carried the Ark of the Covenant into battle with the Philistines. And what happened? They're heavily defeated, and the Philistines take that sacred thing. They take the Ark of the Covenant, and they go. So here we go. David, one of the greatest men in the Bible, with a heart after God, goes and gets it back. All right, so here it is. He recaptures the Ark of the Covenant. And what was the first thing he does? He writes a psalm. So he goes and he gets it back. He writes a psalm or a song. He gives it to the Levites, to the priests. And immediately they begin to sing it. And they begin to give thanks. All right? To praise God and to worship him. The thing is, see, when he did that, they didn't do it for an hour and then stop. It became continuous. When he said, give God thanks, worship him in the temple, in the tabernacle, that was a 24-hour-a-day operation. It never stopped. And so, no breaks. No breaks. The guys, it's like Lewis would be there for half a day or whatever, and then he would kind of shift out and another guy would come in. And they would rotate the musicians in, and they would continue to worship. There was thanksgiving all the time. All the time. Go to Psalm 22, verse 3. In the New King James Version this time, we had some amplified translations there. And it says there, "But you, God, are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." Enthroned in the praises of Israel. That's where God came. his presence, because of the Ark of the Covenant, that's where his presence was at that time. Amen? See, God's attracted to, and he stays in a place where he's thanked and he's praised. God finds that attractive. A thankful heart, he finds that incredibly attractive, and he'll come and he'll stay with you when you have a thankful attitude. And he'll remain there. Amen? And so it's a powerful principle. And I think that that's one of the areas we don't fully understand as Christians sometimes, or have a revelation of. It's God's presence with us. When is it? Is it sometimes? Or is it always? Or is it sometimes? Or is it at certain times? When is God's presence with us? Amen. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded." And here's the interesting bit. "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Answers the question regarding God's presence in our life. Also tells us that when Jesus appoints you to do something, you should do it. Because he appointed them to go somewhere, didn't he? And we are part of the Great Commission, aren't we? We are workers in the Great Commission. And if that is the case, and we are observing, all right? See here, remember our quote at the start. "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." There we go. You know, sometimes it's our position and our perception of things that's the problem, not God's. And sometimes it's our positioning that is taking us away. God says, "My presence will be with you. You have my Holy Spirit." But it's our movement that's the problem. Yeah? So if thanksgiving is absent in our lives, we can experience problems in our relationship. And I could say that in a general sense. How long can you live with a thankless child before you, please tell me, somebody, how long can you live with someone who is totally thankless? You eventually, by the grace of God, you manage. But it's a hard thing to work with someone that's thankless. You know? And so we don't want these kind of problems in our relationship. And we should always be aware of reasons to be thankful. And this is where we can be a great witness to people. We can say, "Hey, what are you thankful for?" "Well, you know, you're going to get some good things from people. But like, can I give you a dozen more for your list?" Or something like that. Because you can. Amen? And so, but the main reason is because of our salvation. Yeah, that's the main reason. It's the most that he could ever do for us. All right? That's the most that God could ever do for us. Giving us eternal life, you can't top that. He is so good to us here, but that is the most that he can do for us. And that should be the single biggest motivator in our lives to be thankful. So if you've got nothing else to be thankful for in the morning, then at least be thankful that Jesus Christ died for you and he gave his life for you. And he invites you to know eternal life by just saying, "I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died for me on the cross, and that you were resurrected from the dead on the third day." It's as simple as that, having faith in your heart that Jesus died for you. That's all it takes. Amen? And it's amazing. So that's the single biggest thing. And we shouldn't keep God waiting in terms of thanks. All right? We should be quick to thank him. We should be quick to thank people. We should be quick. When we thank God in a timely way, quickly, we put ourselves ourselves in a position of being able to receive more from him. I'll show you where I'm going with this just now. If you go to Luke 17, verse 12 to 19, you'll see there, I'm not going to turn there. But that's what happened with the one leper that came back to Jesus. Everybody know that story of the lepers that were? And one leper came back, and his return and the acknowledgement and the thanks that he gave to Jesus created a further opportunity for Jesus to release something into his life. So one person came back and said, thank you. And Jesus says, I've got more. Because you came back. So what happened to the other guys that didn't come back? They missed that opportunity of another level. And so he says, I've got more. Amen. And so that's amazing. And God really does want to release us into more, into take us from faith to faith, level to level. Do you believe that? I don't believe we were designed to remain the same. We're not designed to remain the same. We're designed to go more and more. The Bible always says things like glory to glory, faith to faith. The Bible is like so full of change and flux, and you know, and it's fluid, and you know, the people that stood still got they lost, and the people that were moving, it's like moving with the cloud. You know, cloud by day, fire, pillar of fire by night. Move, keep on moving, keep on moving, even when it feels like your sandals are wearing out. Keep on shuffling, keep on moving. So. Amen. So the difference between us or born-again believers, okay, and unbelievers is God's presence. That's the major differentiation between someone who's saved and someone who's not, is God's presence. Amen. And hosting God's presence in our life is a serious thing. And that is, I believe, maybe we can teach a bit on that going forward. Hosting God's presence is a very serious thing. We need to pay close attention to it. It's a serious matter, amen? We've got to treat it with care, and we've got to be thankful for it. We've got to be thankful for God's presence. And Scripture tells us that everyone that has been redeemed should respond with thanks. Go to Psalm 107, verse 1. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. And his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Amen. And so that quick response, that thankful response is so important. And over the last few weeks, one thing we've been touching on is attitude. We've somehow it's been creeping into the messages, attitude. And, you know, sometimes when you bring that word up, people get irked by it. I get kind of sometimes because I was always, David, your attitude's wrong. Tell me my attitude's wrong. You know, when someone tells you that your attitude is wrong, it's like, what? Your reaction, you know? And so I think that attitude's important. Amen. It determines so much, and it's important for us to have the correct attitude in thanksgiving. Amen. I want to show you just a little illustration here in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. This is a great illustration of a guy with a good attitude in terms of thanksgiving. Yeah? In Jonah 2, verse 9, it says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Amen. You know the story of Jonah and how he was ended up in the belly of the fish. I mean, the circumstances were nasty. They were, you know, what a terrible place to be. And he corrected his attitude at that moment. And he cried out at the top of his voice, what does it say? I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I'll pay what I have vowed. And that is, as soon as he went into that, as soon as his attitude changed and he became thankful, he was delivered. Yeah. So there's a thankfulness and deliverance. It's linked. Thankfulness, moving to the next level, it's linked. It's all linked. Amen. So that particular translation of thanksgiving there in that in Jonah there is a Hebrew word. It's called todah. Okay? It's used in connection with a sacrifice, but not in the sense that it's done reluctantly or when you don't feel like it. All right? So this is not a thanksgiving that is like, go and say thank you. Do you know that kind of thanksgiving? Go and tell them, go and say thank you to that person. This is not that. This is done willingly, okay? Now, it's not like the put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, because that is really when you feel like, I don't feel like it. I'm unwilling. I can't bring myself to do that. But when you do, that garment of praise shifts the spirit of heaviness. Oh, amen? You get it? So it's bringing it with a willing heart. Thanksgiving with a willing heart, that's important. God will not receive a sacrifice or offering if it's not done willingly. That's the attitude and how you bring it is most important. Amen. He's interested more in how we bring to him. Yeah, that is more important in his eyes. It's our attitude when we come towards him, when we approach him. Amen. And even in the worst circumstances, we've got to understand, just like Jonah, thanksgiving is nothing to do with the circumstances we're going through. Amen? Thanksgiving has got nothing to do with your circumstances, because it's easy to be thankful when everything's going super, when everything is A1 sharp, everything good. It's easy to be thankful. But it's nothing to do with your circumstances. True thanks is based on knowing that God's in control despite how things look around us. Doesn't matter how things are looking out there. We know that God's in control. Amen. So Jonah had to cry out and acknowledge God, and it was a willing thing. And that word todah also means to give thanks for things that are still to happen in that context or are yet to come to pass or appear. So thanksgiving also unlocks things in the future. Amen? It unlocks it. I'm sure there's some testimonies here of some things that God has opened doors for you when you've just been thankful. You've kept a thankful heart. Go to Hebrews 13. Chapter 13, verse 15. It says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Amen. It's not an exchange. It's not like you do something for me and I'll thank you. It's just an attitude of our heart that is continually thankful. And it comes out of love. Amen. And God tells us to abound with thanksgiving. And if anyone says abound with something, you usually think, well, it must mean that there's more than enough. Abundance or abounding in something means what? You've got plenty. You've got plenty of it. Amen. You've got much more than enough. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, rooted and built in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So it says there that if you're rooted and built up in him, in Jesus Christ, and you're established in the faith, as you've been taught, abound in that with thanksgiving. Isn't that great? So thanksgiving is a big deal. It's a really big deal. In fact, in Nehemiah, he actually organized two massive thanksgiving choirs. And they went one to one side of the city. You know, remember they were rebuilding the walls and everything. And one to the other side. And these were dedicated thanksgiving choirs. Isn't that amazing? That's in Nehemiah 12. And he says, we're going to offer an abundance of thanksgiving. I don't know how big the choirs were. I could maybe find that out. But it says there in Nehemiah 12, he brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and he appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. One went to the right hand and the other one, if I go a bit further down past all of the names, the other went the opposite way. Oh, that was easy. one went the opposite way. And I was behind them with half the people on the wall. And so there was all these people there. So the two Thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God. Okay? Likewise, I and half of the rulers with me, lots more names. The singers sang loudly with Jezrahiah, the director. Here's a great bit. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away, far off. And I see that as like I'm sending out a message. We are still thankful to God. We're still thankful to our Savior. We're still thankful to our Redeemer. We're still thankful. We're still here. Walls are being rebuilt. We're still here. In fact, look, we've got two massive Thanksgiving choirs. Probably had hundreds and hundreds of people in them. And I just think, wow. But the main thing was that the people's thankfulness was heard. And that's important. When your thankfulness is heard outside the walls of this church, wow, then it's going to, things are going to change. Amen? When we let our thankfulness echo and reverberate outside of this church. Amen? That magnifies God. It's like magnifying glass. When you say when God is magnified, it means that there's a focus on him that makes him bigger. All right? So it's like a magnifying glass. And when we do that with our thanks, it begins to attract other people. It begins to attract other people. In Psalm 69, verse 30, just about to finish off, Psalm 69, verse 30, it says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with what? Thanksgiving. Our thanksgiving makes God big. Our thanksgiving is like, wow, big magnifying glass. Give thanks. Look how big our God is. And people will be attracted to that. Amen? They'll be attracted to that. Here's the thing, though. If we're not careful about our words, if we're thankless, moaners, and complainers, and bitter about life, bitter about our jobs, bitter about our church, bitter about other people and what they've done, it's no wonder that no one's going to be attracted. If we complain, if we moan, if we bitter, people are not going to be attracted to that. People are going to be attracted to a thankful heart. Amen? Like attracts like. Birds of a feather flock together. Like if you're gonna have your bitter moaning session, you'll attract people that will come and bitterly moan with you. Yeah? I want to take you to the final scripture here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. It's kind of ending on a heavier kind of impact, I hope. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, it says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. We talk a load of foolish stuff sometimes. We talk foolishly. We talk foolishly about people. We talk foolishly about our leaders. I'm talking about our leaders in the nation. We just talk a lot. Sometimes we just talk. And it's not fitting. We should have a thankful heart. Amen. We've got to make a different sound to the people out there. Got to make a different sound. Remember that song we played in church years ago, Sound of a Victory? It was the theme song for the World Cup in South Africa, I think it was, Football World Cup or something. It's a sound of a victory. We've got to make a different sound because you have been set apart. You know that you're God's favored people. That's why I said at the beginning, say this, we are God's great people. You're God's favored people. You're special and you're supposed to sound different. What happens though is we get conditioned into sounding like the people around us because we don't want to ruffle any feathers. We want to fit in. When you sound different, all right, you're probably going to find that you're there's some places that you're not welcome. But you're not meant to be the same. And we should be increasing in our gratitude to the Lord. Amen. And the reason why is because the more we know him, the more thankful we should be. Amen. It's a sign of spiritual growth and maturity because it's got to do with God's presence. If God is attracted to us when we give thanks and he comes into our presence, if we have a lack of God's presence in our life, then that suggests that maybe our walk is not where it should be. Our attitude is not where it should be. Amen. The more time that we spend in God's presence, the more thankful we should be. Amen. So you're different. You're different. You're an eagle, not a vulture. Amen. You're an eagle. Eagles don't eat dead meat. Vultures eat dead meat. Eagles don't eat dead meat. So keep your life clean. And instead of, you know, if we do that, if we just remember our words, our heart of thankfulness, and instead of complaining, use that time to appreciate God more, we'll have a complete transformation in our lives. Amen? Use that time. Don't use the time to dwell on the circumstances. Just begin to give thanks, and God will deliver you. Amen?
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.